Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air. This shit just got real. I'm Chick. That's Jason, our producer. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Chick.
Jess rejoins us. Hi. Hi, Jess.
Hi.
This is new music from Vinny Testosterone.
Not the premiere.
Should I know him?
We used this on an episode that you did not appear.
With Keith.
Keith Alberstadt. And I kind of like
it. Testosterone?
Testosterone. Yeah. We call it cat walking across a keyboard.
That doesn't sound complimentary.
I kind of liked it. Didn't you like it?
I know, but the way you named it, it doesn't sound very...
You know, we made the mistake of doing an episode without you, and all we got was email and tweets. Where's Jess? What's the problem? So where were you during the Keith Alberstadt show?
I think I was sleeping.
I don't think you were.
I'm pretty sure I was.
Were you sleeping?
Yeah.
You like to sleep. That's true. Hi, Jason. How you been?
I got a little throat thing, but I'm good.
I do, too. I just went to the yarn store, and whenever I'm in there too long, I feel like I get the fibers in my throat, and it's gross.
What, are they, like, in the air?
Yeah, I think so.
Don't you feel like most of all dust in the world is from a Kleenex box?
Yes, and that makes me so mad, because if you take it out and on a sunshiny day and you wave it around like this, you just see it everywhere. It's so, bleh. I don't want to put that in my face.
Welcome back to Off the Air. I'm your host, Chick McGee. That's my girlfriend, Jess. That's my producer, Jason.
Be sure to say girlfriend again.
And
how many episodes is this?
What I was going to say was thank you for downloading our podcast. Welcome back. This is number 13 or whatever it says there on your
screen or whatever
you're looking at.
Bob Zaney screwed us up
with
that one.
Tired of trying to keep up what numbers things are. Let me tell you something about her, though. When you said you had a throat thing, She will not hear of a sore throat. She doesn't want to hear about it. Her famous quote is, you keep it to yourself.
Like you don't believe in it?
No. Well, yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
A little bit, because I don't get a sore throat and I don't get a cough and I don't, when I get a cold, I get a little bit of a runny nose and that's it.
You've never had a little lump in your throat?
I have, but I have kept it to myself.
You get a
Did you see how she looked at me when she said that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's genuinely
irritated.
Eyes get
big, Shakes the head, and I kept it to myself.
I'm just
going
to
tell you guys something, okay? Every time my mom coughs, she has bronchitis. She's had bronchitis since I was 3.
That was one. When did that happen between us?
Thank you.
I was laying in bed. She comes and I go, I'm just not feeling. What did I accidentally say that?
I think you said you had bronchitis, and I said, you don't fucking have bronchitis.
You realize he's not your mom, nor am I.
Sometimes it's hard to, you know, that imprinting that goes on, it's a little tough.
It's bad. She has pneumonia and bronchitis.
Everything is a little to the nth degree sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the imprinting, Jason. Okay. That's what it is.
Yeah, imprint.
Whatever. You have emails you can read with your girl glasses?
I told you.
talk like an old lady.
I told you initially that.
I think I would like to blame this on one of our co-executive producers, whatever his name is or whatever his title is, Mark, in the morning that he went out and got these reading glasses for me. And I think it was a joke. He bought them from the girl's side. And these are my emergencies. Every now and then I'll leave with my reading glasses in my pocket and I go home. And they'll be sitting in the car, and just like now, seconds ago, I said, I had your off-the-air podcast t-shirt in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at you, and I said, the t-shirt's in the car.
Right.
I didn't want to go get it. I thought maybe you'd go, I'll go get it, but you didn't. So I had to go get it. I hate to go get things in the car after I'm already in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you don't like people with sore throats.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know where your actual reading glasses are?
Yes, I know where all of them are.
Because you have a...
that's one day. one day, believe it or not, she cleaned the house. And...
What the hell?
Nice!
Yikes!
Well, who likes to vacuum?
I do.
I beg your pardon? Who really enjoys it?
Not you.
I do. I really enjoy it.
You enjoy it? But
so I vacuum most of the time, and I clean the house most of the time.
Okay, whatever you want to... Yes, everybody, he cleans and he vacuums.
Now you're
and
just
he dusts now and he I makes get the feeling bed and he does the laundry and
no, that's not true.
Okay, well.
But anyway, she found all these reading glasses all over the house.
I found his most expensive pair in a shoe underneath the dresser 3 days ago.
That could not have happened.
Oh, yes, it did. Yes, it did.
My Ray-Ban reading glasses?
Yeah.
Were in a shoe?
In a shoe.
Underneath the dresser?
In a UGG slipper. That's, one of your many
hey, at
UGG
least
slippers.
You opened the present, right? Considering.
Yeah, that's true. I do open my present.
Right, right. How about you open some email?
Email.
Dear Chick, the Off the Air podcast is great! Exclamation point. I have a nearly 90-minute commute to work and normally listen to the other show on the way to work. On my drive home... the 90-minute commute? Yeah, that's too
yucky.
Long. Yeah, on my drive... Icky 90-minute. What are you drinking there, by the way?
A salted caramel mocha.
What would happen to me if I drank that?
You would salted caramel shit your pants because it's so good.
On the way here, we stopped at a well-known coffee establishment. I went to the drive-thru and she got her salted caramel and she told me that in the drive-thru. That's what we get for trying to set things up.
I know, that's okay.
Anyway, on his 90-minute drive home from work over the past few weeks, the recent podcasts have gone from being played in the car after a new episode is released and maybe a couple times a week to now a different episode just about every day. I know on the other show, the main focus is promoting guests, upcoming shows, appearances, etc., but I really enjoy how your podcast gives a feel. Here comes the left-handed compliment.
Mm-hmm.
What it's like to really hang out and talk with the guests. Oh.
That's not left-handed.
That's not left-handed at all. That was a nice compliment.
It's right-handed.
Even I can't find the left-handed compliment in that. I love hearing the stories about things that happen on the road and off stage. I think Jessica and Jason add a lot to the mix and do a really good job as well. Now, Jessica is my girlfriend and Jason is my producer. like you, they both seem like really great people to hang around with. I look forward to future podcasts. Keep up the great work. Thank you. Mike in Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike. Dear Chick, this is from Eric. Dear Chick, tell Greg Warren that black folks love it when he imitates black folks.
Oh my God.
Hilarious. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Your podcast, the only thing keeping me from smacking the holy cowboy dog shit out of one of my work neighbors right now. Keep them coming. I like the work neighbor term.
I do too.
Your black friend, Eric Mars. Well, thank you, Eric.
You know what looked good on a black friend?
A black t-shirt.
A black off the air podcast t-shirt or
right.
Your Chick McGee's favorite listener t-shirt, both available at chickmcgee.com along with a Chick McGee CD.
They'd look good on white listeners too.
Not so much, I don't think.
They look good on a black dog.
They do look good on a black dog.
Our dog's Brindle, actually.
You know, black people and white people both like these shirts. Or people of color, I guess.
Come on, stop.
Carry
next
on.
Email.
Next email.
Should I go?
Yes.
That was totally my fault.
Hey, I'm like a big ship. You steer me towards something. It's hard to go back. Dear Chick, I'm an El Paso, Texas native. I've been listening to the Bob and Tom. That's what it says. I've been listening to the Bob and Tom since I started college 8 years ago.
Oh, that's... That
isn't
goes
that great?
No, it's just like when you say you're going to go get you an Arby's. I'm going to go to the Arby's and get me an Arby's.
He does not.
You know,
yes,
this,
he does.
This hardly ever happens.
I'm going to get me a White Castle.
But it happened today, and I said, because there's a difference in our ages, about 20 years or something.
Sure.
Anyway, I said, I don't like it when you keep mentioning how I talk old. And she said, well, if you didn't talk old,
stop talking old and
stop talking old.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, who is this? Audrey from El Paso, Texas. Started college 8 years ago. Saw you at the Plaza Theater a few years ago. Oh my gosh.
This is in El Paso.
This is in El Paso. This is when we were there.
We almost died.
This true story. We were going to the venue and it was me and you and
I don't know.
Who was in the taxi with us?
Probably Ron.
Was it Henry?
It was Ron.
Ronnie?
Ron?
Ronnie Donnie Baker?
Recognizing this name? It's Ron.
I think she's pretty certain it's Ron.
I think she just ruined my story.
Okay. No, okay.
Anyway, we're in a taxi cab and Cav has a flat tire, and we're there on the
and
busiest.
And he doesn't pull off to the side. He pulls off into the middle, into the median.
Okay, that's what makes sense.
Right,
yeah, go
yeah.
in the middle.
So I looked at Sugar. I was like, we're going to die.
We're going to die. And they're like,
both sides.
Oh, and you can look up in the hills and see Mexico, and it just adds to the terror. I don't know why. I know why, because
we were literally half a mile from
Juarez or wherever, and they were telling us don't go over there.
Where they're just killing people for fun. Yeah.
So, we finally get the. That sounds like one of my stories now. So the.
Yep. That's
they sent another taxi for us, and we got out and got in that one. And we went to our hotel.
But we almost died when we had to switch taxis with all the other traffic.
That's almost death.
Yeah, it was scary. It
was Audrey is a VIP member living in Japan and is an Air Force wife.
Oh. Wow.
She wants to thank us for helping to keep her homesickness at bay.
Oh.
Listening to Bob and Tom has always lifted my spirits when I'm down. Me too. We've every now and then we've endured earthquakes, two tsunamis. Oh, that T's silent, I bet.
Yes.
Tsunamis, typhoons, and nuclear disasters since we moved here. Oh my gosh, they have.
Yeah, that sucks.
Holy moly. And now
who's there to save me.
I get an extra dose of my Chickster every week. I love hearing a completely different side of you and your guests, especially Greg Warren, my comedy crush. Jess is a great addition to the mix. Japan is pretty fucking cool. I just like that you can say that on your show. But sometimes I just want to hear some good old American comedy. I don't have a question. I just wanted to let you know how much I'm enjoying the podcast from halfway around the world. And to encourage you to keep it up for us chickmunks. Arigato gozaimasu. Audrey, map with two P's from Japan. Thank you, Audrey. You know what would ship to Japan would be a... off the air podcast t-shirt. I bet that would ship right over there, or a favorite listener t-shirt at chickmcgee.com. Okay, I'll stop that. Hi, Chick. This is from Mark, catching up on your podcast, Best Ever. When you started out in radio by chance, were you at WOSR, Ohio State Drake Union? I was not, but I...
Next email.
I was drunk at Drake Tower Drakket Tower, which is right around the corner from Drake. I know what he's talking about is what I'm saying.
Can you fill the rest of us in?
It was a long night on High Street, and we went over on Lane Avenue, which is at T's, and we went to Tommy's Pizza on Lane Avenue, and a bunch of us were there. David was there.
I like David.
But David did not. David was
worst storyteller ever.
Thanks for asking to extend the story a little.
David was in charge of you, looking woman. For me, and we drank a bunch of beer, and we went over to the dorms, and that's all there was to it. That's all there was to it. This is from Jack Wright. the subject is Cundiff. Is this what I think it is?
Okay. Sort of, yeah. I asked the same question.
Oh. Hey, Chick. Love your show. I think it's fucking awesome. I was just wondering if you could please explain the your Cundiff is in the sink joke you sometimes reference on the other
show. I don't
know
this joke.
Thanks, Jack. It's a joke that was told on Curb Your Enthusiasm by Bob Einstein portraying Marty Funkhauser.
Oh, this is the only, I think this is the only Curb I ever saw.
Jerry Seinfeld had all the, sort of the unofficial reunion of the Seinfeld show.
Yes, yeah.
And believe it or not, I'm uncomfortable telling it.
Oh, just tell it.
I actually can't tell it because the beauty of the joke is in how it's
laid out
is how it's laid out, and the punchline.
Maybe we can put a link to the YouTube.
Yes, we will.
But point being, it's not your joke. You're referencing something else.
Right, we're referencing something on
from Curb Your
Enthusiasm. Hey, what was the word of the day on your definition thing today?
Oh, her tell us.
Her tell us what?
I get her tell us when her comes is what I said, but I don't know.
Yeah.
See, that's the kind of stuff we laugh at when we're not on the air.
All right.
Or are we off the air? From Nathan, dear Chick, just wanted to drop a line and let you know how much I love your show. I look forward to it every week. Thank you very much. I know it sounds like I'm glossing over that, and I don't mean to. I look forward to it every week or every few days, at least since that seems to be the time frame. sounds like a criticism. I'm currently listening to episode 10 with Greg Warren and just read my friend Evan Smith's email, which was a pretty cool moment to randomly hear as I tuned in. Anyway, show's great. You're great. Jess is great. Jason is great. Have I kissed enough ass yet? I love it. If you happen to be taking guest host requests, can I put in an official vote for Greg Hahn? Greg is the only person to ever cause me to laugh so hard while listening that I literally feared for my life as I was driving down the road, and I know that having you two off the air together would be spectacular. Thanks, and as always, keep up the good work, Nathan Meyer. Well, my goodness, this is almost as if it were planned. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest on Off the Air this week, I hadn't mentioned it yet because he wasn't here yet. His plane just landed not that long ago. It's Greg Hahn, everybody.
Hey, Chick, how are you? Thanks for having me, everybody. Come on. Jess and Jason, it's a podcast. Thanks for having me on the big podcast.
We're podcasting,
Greg.
This
is great.
What have you been up to?
Oh, man, I flew in. I'm going out with this girl.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know how she talks? Ask me how I am.
How are you?
I like her.
That's you good. Like her?
Low pressure.
Is she a slate cleaner?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, now, beautiful.
Greg, you're not always like this, are you? I mean, those of us who have seen you, you're not always...
I sit in the corner like a heap, quiet.
Right? You're heapish every now and then, yeah.
Yeah, but podcast, we can calm it down, right? What do you do, talk?
No, sure. The Greg Hahn story is jumping into my mind now is that we were all going somewhere on a plane, and we're making a connection. I want to say Minneapolis, maybe?
Texas. Into you and Jess?
Could have been down. Yeah, we did run into Greg that one time.
Yeah, we weren't traveling with Greg, but we...
No, but this is the time we were traveling with Dallas. You, and we were all trying to make a connection, and we're all just... we're running down... And we look at who's Mr. Excitement on stage, and he's just taking it easy, just walking down the.
Really?
Yeah, you had your little pull luggage there, and what do they call that? Pull luggage?
Yeah, pull luggage. Yeah,
we must not have been there late.
No, we were late, but you looked at me and said, "I'm not going to rush for this. I'm not.
Really?
I'm not hurrying." Yeah, really? You did. That's what you said.
Did I catch the flight?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, you made it. We all made it. Everybody made it.
Yeah,
everybody was fine. You remember Jess, right, Greg?
Hi, Jess. All right, yeah. Jess had trouble in the planes, right?
I was sick a lot.
Always coming off the plane sick.
She
dizzy
has,
and sick. Here comes Jess, dizzy.
That's true.
That was a very bad flight. I didn't like that flight. I don't deal well with flights.
All very true.
She has the ears of a 16-month-old.
It's
Is it the ears?
It's the ears.
All right.
It's the ears, and she doesn't really... she takes Dramamine.
Very sensitive.
We took a flight to San Francisco. It was like a four-hour flight.
It did?
Right.
And she took like four Dramamine and fell asleep on my shoulder and did not wake up until we got to San Francisco.
Perfect flight. How'd you feel when you came off the plane? Fine?
I felt good. Chick was a little...
Ergo, I did not move for the entire flight. For 4 hours. Yeah, that's no good. See, that's what you do for dames, right, Greg?
Yeah, I tell you, by the time I was in first class, I sat next to this prostitute from Vegas.
No.
I loved her. She was great.
Did this really happen?
Yeah.
No,
she started off telling me she was a stripper.
Uh-huh.
And then she said, well, I'm a little bit more than that. call girl. Something. I think she said call girl.
She
was flying back from Hawaii. Some guy flew her to Hawaii and stuff. And we sat in first class.
Business.
She started taking some pill you take. Something. She had something good.
Adderall. Adderall? No.
No, something to knock you out, calm you down. One of the great.
Valium.
A Vicodin, but not a Vicodin.
Not a Valium?
Seroquel?
Percocet. She had Percocet. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll make
but
you sleep.
But she was drinking, too. She said, you want to have a screwdriver? Should we get a screwdriver?
Why not? Yeah.
We started drinking these, the orange juice and the thing, right? And with the vodka, a couple bracers, as Chick would say.
Glass of crazy.
You know, people are in the back. They're still getting on. I'm on my fifth bracer.
The wheels haven't moved yet.
Yeah, I'm talking to the call girl. And she starts getting louder and louder. Yeah, she drinks her vodka, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't trust men anymore. I'm switching to women. I've been with women. You know.
Oh, wow.
Oh, she was great.
Yeah.
And then she took her pills, and she offered me one. I said, no thanks. You go ahead and enjoy all that.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the booze, I thought she was going to check out. But no, she went down for the count, out, and then we landed, woke up. She was a pro. She was completely fine.
Really?
Yeah, she was great.
Wow.
The other guy I was sat next to once was... the guy that trains with Chuck Norris and a black belt and everything. Could kill everybody. He was in five Bruce Lee movies. This guy.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was drinking like a nut and started putting me in different holds.
No way.
Yeah, really? It was great. Twisting my hand around, twisting my fingers back. Saying, you need to take jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai and boxing. You'll be a very dangerous man.
Well, like drunken boxing or something? Isn't there like a drunken boxing? Like a specific
called a bar fight?
No, it's not a bar, isn't it? Or is that just something? Is that
drunk? You mean like you can take classes? You show up drunk and you learn how to box?
No, it's something that happened in the Matrix. Maybe it was just for the movie. I'm not sure.
Yeah. This guy was my second favorite sure guy. I was sat next to.
So did he at least politely ask, "Hey, can I try these on you?" Or did he just start, naked arms?
Conversation just came about. He grabbed my hand and. I was asking him questions that he liked. Like, you ever have to use your knowledge with people? Sometimes I have to give him an attitude adjustment, that kind of thing. He grabbed my arm. Yeah, it was great.
Ouch.
That didn't hurt that bad. It was fun, because you're getting wounded by a guy who's a real professional, been in the movies.
He knows what he's doing.
That's true.
Yeah. You want your elbow snapped, you want it done by a pro. I enjoyed myself a lot. Him and the prostitute are my two favorite people on the airplane ever.
You always fly first class, Greg? Is that how you roll?
I get bumped up. Uh-huh. I don't pay for it. Just because I fly so much.
Mm-hmm. You do fly a lot, I bet. They Are you out every week?
Almost.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The corporate stuff. You like the corporate stuff.
I do the corporate stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Greg Hahn, what is it? GregHahn.com? Is that right?
That's right. Are we plugging stuff on the podcast?
We can plug, baby.
Yeah, GregHahn.com. Come on, we're doing Christmas parties now. Get in there.
Hurry.
I'll make fun of your competition.
Hurry.
You ever seen my act at a club? Well, picture it in a suit. There you go. Corporate show.
You don't have any DVDs of any of your performances?
I don't sell any DVDs.
No, or any CDs?
Nothing.
Or
no CDs, DVDs.
No.
Just remember what you saw.
There you go.
That's right.
Then you go out.
We got to keep it a secret. Secret, right?
Business genius.
Hey, is that a new watch that you got there? is that a Timex?
That's my brand new Timex.
I think that's pronounced Timex.
I spent $200 for a Timex. Man, we're doing them.
We're doing them. We're stacking them up.
I'll tell you what I'm tired of. These women showing up at my house with a one-track mind.
Oh,
how am I going to get out of here? We're doing the jokes.
Now, do you remember how you got on the Bob and Tom show the first time? Because I do.
You do?
I do.
Oh, well, I've heard
it. It was very unique, I believe.
Okay. Well, I didn't know all the background when I showed up. I just thought I was playing a club and I was going to do the Bob and Tom show.
Oh, it was unique. I mean, not very unique. Yeah.
And I thought, I've heard of, of course I'd heard of the Bob and Tom.
Oh.
And all the comics always wanted to do it. They're always fighting to do it and struggling and stressed out over who's going to do it. And this guy, I thought I was going to do it, but I'm not going to do it. But anyways, I got word. I was playing one-liners. Mm-hmm. Anyway, club, and they said, you're going to do it. Fine. Great. Showed
Let's
up.
Let's do it.
And I did it.
Well, Tom was very excited. I remember specifically, Tom was very excited that morning. He said, I saw this guy on the updated Star Search.
Yeah, it was Star Search.
He was on a couple months ago, and he's coming through town. I saw him. He's absolutely hilarious, and we're going to have him in. And, of course, the three of us look at each other and go, in all our years that Tom has said something like this, it's never worked out.
He oversells every time.
He nothing. If he sets it up like that, it's doomed to failure.
Yeah.
but you came in and just you're different. I don't know. You're not in a in any sort of. You can't qualify. Oh well, Tommy Jonagan is very funny on stage and a monologist and
great.
And Bob Zaney is kind of a throwback but Hahn's
a Hahn,
an unstoppable force of
that's
nature.
Good.
Well,
I was so lucky, the show put me on because the other shows, they're still afraid of me. They want to keep their jobs. These guys that book Letterman and Leno and Fallon, they're scared to death.
Why won't they just let you go?
Weak. Wimps, man. I could use, stronger language.
Yeah.
You can.
But this
you
show can. Put me on. Great. You know what happens? Maybe you've heard this type of stuff before, but I did this show, and then you do it like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I showed up in Wichita. This show changed the whole game for me. Showed up in Wichita. Couldn't find a place to park at this club.
And you wondered, what's going on?
Who's here? Is it Ted Nugent? Who's here? Who's playing? What's going on? Can't park.
This is
going
to be great. I'm going to get my show out of the way.
Who am I opening for?
And go see Nugent.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was people that Bob and Tom fans.
Well,
it was great. Yeah. And then I got first a different paycheck, better paycheck.
Uh-huh.
I remember at a comedy club, and I remember looking at it and thinking, okay. Everyone else is on notice.
This
all
is
other
all
clubs.
Right. This is all right.
Just great. Changed the whole thing. And what's interesting is still today, like I know guys that have been on Letterman over 20 times, and there'll be a club in the Midwest or whatever, and that guy, nothing.
We like to hear stuff like
and
that.
And the Bob and Tom on it's packed out.
Yeah.
A lot of guys are like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
this show destroys the television shows.
So are you? Have you always been?
Is that okay to say?
No. Say it.
Tim Wilson has said it.
Yeah,
Tim Wilson
said
that Tom Griswold talking about you, having fun with you, is will do more for you than Jay Leno.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know guys. Yeah. They sit out in L.A. Nothing. Mm-hmm. But they've got like four sets on the major shows. Mm-hmm. Now I would do that, of course. Anyway, whatever. It's getting boring. I'm boring myself to tears.
No, don't you want to? Don't you want to be in a sitcom? Don't you have a dream sitcom?
Yeah, I just want to pull up. You know what I want to do? Yeah. I just want the gate to open up. Park in my own spot.
Right this way, Mr. Hahn.
Thank you. Where's Craft Services?
Uh-huh.
Thank you. All right. Then you get ready for a makeup. Talk to that girl. Probably ask her out. She'll say no. You go out. Action. Stop putting my wig on the dog. Cut. Thank you.
Back
in the car.
Good night.
Roll home. Check for 30,000 shows up. I'll never quit. Don't you want to expand your range? Aren't you afraid you're going to get typecast? I love it.
Have you ever sat down and looked at one of your performances, or you just go ahead and go? And
I sometimes look at them.
You look at them?
Yeah.
But we've had this discussion before that a lot of people think, oh, well, he's physical and he's, you know. But there's a lot of good writing in your jokes, a lot of subtle wording, a lot of the say hello to your new handicap.
How's it go?
The
How's my act go?
How's your act go? No, you're out golfing with a buddy of yours, and he coughs in your back.
Oh, say hello to your new handicap, John. That one? Because I hit him in the throat with a two iron?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the one?
No, that's good. It's funny because you say that stuff so much that you plow through it.
Right.
But then sometimes if you get like a week or 2 weeks off, mm-hmm. and then you say it again, you're like, hey, that's not bad.
No, it just jumps out at you. It's like, okay, this guy could be easily like he's, you know, just screaming and yelling and running around and people are laughing at that. But there's substance there. There's good funny wording. There's subtle differences between the words. And
yeah. You know, it's interesting.
You're smart like that, Greg.
What was I going to say? First of all, can we talk about the sitcom real quick?
Sure.
Then I want to talk about writing, like you were bringing up.
Okay.
Is that okay?
I like the sitcom. We're going to write a sitcom? But you know, that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, we could do that. You know, I was going to tell you my idea. I don't know if I should expose my idea on the air.
On the sitcom?
Someone will
do you have it written
idea.
Down and copywritten?
No, I don't have all that.
If you say it, this will do it for you.
This is proof that it was your idea.
Yeah, this is what you need
to do. Here's one idea.
This is a record.
This is not a sitcom. This is an hour-long special. Could make it a movie, but maybe an hour-long special.
Okay.
Let me know what you think. Is this going to, what's going to happen? Is this okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or is someone going to do this when I say
no.
Okay, here's what happens. You know that show? What was that show? Super Size Me?
Yeah.
Right, where the guy almost died eating hamburgers.
The McDonald's.
First of all, how do you live past a week? Mm. We know you eat a hamburger every meal. You're going down.
Sure.
I don't understand what the premise of that show. Why not, like, you know, attack cupcakes or whatever? Anyway, what I do, not 1 month. Was it 1 month of McDonald's, all McDonald's?
Yes.
I go 2 months, only McDonald's, and a personal trainer. The name of my special is McRipped. Shredded by the end of 2 months. Just ripped piece of gristle.
Yeah. You go the other way with it.
Chicken breasts,
never,
salads.
Never been more healthy in your life.
Yeah.
At the end of
Have
the
a doctor.
2 months.
Yeah. Blood Looking pressure comes you. Down. Yeah.
But you're so ripped already. Do you need like a couple months off to...
No. I'll thicken up.
Okay.
You do kind of
a lot more muscles.
You've got some upper body there. You're not worried about your legs, though, right?
Why exercise your calves when you can just pull up your tube socks? Come on, everybody.
You look like.
Come on, if you look like a.
I want to look like I'm riding a chicken.
Like you're sitting on a chicken.
What am I doing? Why are you giving me that
you're
look?
You're doing this whole show.
That's great. Chick helps me out. Chick helps me out.
What did he always, when he always, he always
the kangaroo,
includes me.
The kangaroo is your favorite thing. Whenever we were off stage,
you'd
be like, shh.
He's coming to the kangaroo
he's
part.
He's going to do the kangaroo and wig.
You know the kangaroo part?
What part? Is that in the job interview somewhere?
Yes.
You're going to the job
kangaroo
interview.
Kangaroo with a wig?
Yes.
Really? Because I kind of take that out a lot.
Why? Oh.
Oh, I'll put it back. It's right back in.
Put it back in.
I've got a show tonight. Kangaroo with a wig is in. They're going to sit there silently.
Put it in.
Yeah.
Where did that any of that come from?
My brother says a lot of funny things, and I write down what he says. I talk to him every day, just in conversation.
This reminds me of the Seinfeld story where somebody asked him, where do your comedy jokes come from? And he goes, well, there's a voice in my head. but it's in Portuguese. So I have that translated. Are you making this up?
No, my brother's funny.
You have a sister too, Patricia?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know you have a brother.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Oh, good.
Anyway, I write down what he says. But anyway, as far as writing, you want to hear my writing technique?
Yes.
What do you think of this? So I got this book when I first started out called Jean Perret. This is a comedy writing workbook. You ever heard of that?
No.
Million exercises. So I thought if I did every exercise in this thing, I mean, it's the reverse, the double reverse, the this, the that. All right. You got to do 20 of these.
The rule of threes, the funniest numbers, five, all that
stuff.
That. Okay.
Every kind of exercise. Right. And you're working on your act just with your own thoughts. And anyway, I figured I'd make at least $1 million worth of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't touched the book since I started. So good news is for everybody, just upped it to 10 million.
Oh.
I have it written on the front cover. If someone handed you a book and said, hey, buddy, do the exercises in this book. We'll give you $1 million. Wouldn't you immediately start?
I would try to do those exercises. That's right away? $1 million, yeah.
Well, how could I not do it in 18 years? I had to up it to 10 mil.
Oh,
Greg, and I'm not going to get to it today.
Greg.
Unbelievable.
You and your brother are close to the same age?
He's younger than I am. Yeah, he's like 6 years younger.
So were you always messing around, cutting up around your...
Yeah, he just says funny things all the time.
Your dad would come in and go, stop it! No? Or no, you're 6 years older than him. Probably not a lot.
Yeah, no, I wrestle with him all the time. I just saw him. I just fought him yesterday. I did. He holds his hands up and I swing at him. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
And you were in the Marines. You remember that, right?
Yeah, I was in the Marine Corps. Talk about that.
Why did you go in the Marines? Where did that happen?
I always thought they were the... They're the toughest, right? I thought I'll go in there and go nuts.
They're first in.
See if I can do it.
Boots on the ground.
And get out. That's what I always.
Yeah. Just to see if you just prove it to yourself.
Yeah. So I went in, did it, got out, went crazy. You're supposed to learn skills that'll help you in the civilian world. You know? Mm-hmm. Hit him in the head. That's what they're always teaching you, stuff like that. Hit him in the head. Hit him in the head. Hurry up. We don't have all day. How are you going to apply that to your corporate job? You know? Did you talk to Jones? I'm going to hit him in the head. You know?
What about your mom and dad? What do they do? Your dad's a doctor, right?
Yeah, well, he's retired. They're doing good. They're fine. Yeah. He's funny. He's got his own jokes.
This one time we were on the
My dad says a lot of funny
and
things.
I had these at the time. This is a long time ago. I had these pills I was taking at the time.
Yeah.
And I told Han how many I was taking.
Oh.
And he goes, oh. He goes, what are you, a horse? Why would you take that many?
Oh.
I go, well.
That's how many work.
That's how many are working right now. Oh, that was funny.
But it's fun. Like, it's fun working your way up in what you do, right? You probably have some stories coming up in radio where you lived. And
I lived in the back of the station, the first radio.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about. This kind of stuff.
Right there. There was a room with a bed and that didn't have a TV, but it had a TV after I got there. Got a TV, put it back in there. And
lived at the station.
Lived at the station.
And how were you? How'd you feel? Were you happy or were you depressed or you felt like things were fine?
I was just glad to be on the air. Glad to be participating in what I wanted to be.
Is that the first place you did it?
In that room?
Yeah, it was. It was.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It was. Yeah, thanks for...
Was it awesome?
Well, yeah, it was really cool.
It lasted about 13 seconds, but it was awesome.
What are you talking about?
Just kidding.
Yeah, that's that. Welch, West Virginia. You know where Welch, West Virginia is?
I don't know where Welch is. West Virginia. Heard of West Virginia. But you thought, but you're living there in the studio with a bed that you bought?
No, there was that. They actually had a bed there. I don't.
Yikes.
But you felt right on track. You were right on track.
Yeah, thinking about it, I'm like, I'm 18. I'm doing afternoons and
18. Wow,
I'm on the air and I was just very excited to. I was homesick, believe it or not, but
that's outstanding. Yeah, I used to live with a lady. She had emphysema. Her dog had no teeth. Right? Had long green shag carpet, not picked up after with the dog.
Oh,
so
really?
all through high school, all through college, all you wanted to do was you were in your brain, you were going to go in the Marines, then you were going to be a stand-up.
No idea, no thought of being a stand-up. Just Marines, then job. I had a job in a cubicle.
What job? Is that where the kangaroo in a wig comes
from? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
What job did you have out of the Marine Corps?
I ended up getting a job. I sat around for 8 months first and got really good at golf, and then I got a job as a a buyer or something, for a company.
Wait a minute, that's right.
Sat around
you
for 2 years.
You were like a crazy good athlete there for a minute, weren't you?
No, I was in. I played hoops. I sat on the bench.
You played basketball.
Played a little hoops.
With who?
You know the technique.
With Mitch Wiggins.
Mitch
Wiggins.
Yeah.
Mitch Wiggins actually played for like the Rockets or somebody in the NBA, didn't he?
Well, Michael Jordan replaced him in Chicago. He was replaced by Michael Jordan.
There you go.
Hmm. If you're going to get replaced, get replaced
by the best.
You know my technique, how I would play it. Come down to half court, and the defender would back off. I'd say, what, you're going to give me this? I'd put it up. Hot out of the game. They retired my bench when I left college.
What college was that?
Rollins College.
Rollins.
Yeah, I sat the bench. It was great.
Is that Henry Rollins? Anything to do with Henry Rollins? No.
Who was probably. That guy? I think it's just Rollins is all
Rollins,
I know.
Rollins College. Yeah, is that in Florida?
Yeah, I was in Florida, just outside of Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Private school.
A lot of hurricanes there.
A lot of hurricanes in Orlando.
Oh, God.
When a hurricane's coming your way.
What do you do?
Well, you need water, batteries, and extra string for your kite, because that sucker's going to go. Hang on. Goggles, jock strap.
Yeah.
Bring it.
Bring it.
Yeah. You can fly your sister.
Oh. Hang on, Patricia. Yeah.
Get your helmet on, Patricia. It's cloudy out. Quit complaining and start flapping. Hurricane season.
My big question is, did you behave? Were you straight
like
Greg in the Marines?
Yeah, I've always been straight Greg.
No, I know straight.
Yeah, you mean like in the... No, I got in trouble.
No,
stuff.
He got in trouble.
You did get in trouble.
That's my favorite Marine story.
I was running around imitating when you I was were running smashing around my cover down, making
your,
it funny.
With your hat, we call them a cover in the Marines. You were messing with it. Go ahead.
I smashed it down. I was being hilarious.
Yeah, everybody was laughing. What time?
Well, I was on fire watch.
What time was it?
Probably like...
2 in the morning?
2 in the morning, something like that. Going up and down the squad bay, getting laughs. You know, guys were sleeping, some were awake. Uh-huh. They'd look at my cover, my hat, you know, laugh. Because I had smashed down like a dude cap, like Fred Sanford or something. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that kind of... Mm-hmm. And so I thought, man, this is killing this squad bay. I'm going to cross the alley here, go to the next squad bay, and take my act over there. And so when I opened the screen door to go outside, there's a drill instructor, just as if he'd been there for the last 10 minutes, just waiting for me to come outside.
Just
and I
ready
opened the
to
door,
go.
And there
dressed,
he was, just looking at me. Mm. We looked at each other. I closed the screen door. It was like, knowing you're going to get hit by lightning. Like, 3, 2, come in there, you, come in. You know, crazy.
Oh, man.
And he had me make my cover the way I had it, because I fixed it before I ran back out there.
Right.
Had me smash it back down. They hit the lights, woke up the whole, not my platoon, the whole camp, called in the battalion commander or whatever from base, the officer, the captain, he came in, woke him up at his house. Oh. He drove in, the whole place was up early, and they marched people in front of me with my hat funny, and they put my hand out. You know, so I looked a little fruity and marched the whole camp in front of me back and forth. Most guys would have wilted after that. Not me. Not me.
That only gave you more drive. Probably,
I just
right?
knew to hang in there. Some other guy will mess up in a little while. Then some kid came running out into formation with his canteens upside down. I was off the hook. It was all right.
Did you have a couple guys in comedy before that you sort of knew that you wanted to talk to about what it was like, or you just dive in?
I kind of
dove in. I just did it. I don't know why I would. And then, you know, you look at tapes of yourself when you first start, or even 5 years in, you're like, you should, you know, the only thing you lacked was potential. Like, totally should have quit. Why would you keep showing up?
Was it always like the high energy and the...
Oh, yeah. And completely no one understood what I was doing. And you put your tape recorder out in the audience and you come back and listen to it later. You hear people say, don't worry, there's going to be more show. Hang in there. Hang in there. You know, our club would fire me. They'd call me back and a guy would start spitting out bills on the table. And I think, am I getting an advance?
Uh-huh.
You know, no, you're done. What? How could that be?
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah. But I never was really... So bothered. It was kind of.
You just kept going.
I'd get a Snapple and sit outside with the steam coming off my head. You know, after. I remember doing this one show.
I've been there. We've been there backstage when he's come off stage on a cold evening.
But no, this one show. And, you know, again, like maybe first year or something.
Mm-hmm.
Packed club. No laughs. Nothing cooking, right? It was rocking before I got a. And I remember stopping and getting out of the light and looking, just looking at the crowd because I couldn't believe all those people were still there.
You know? It was so quiet.
And when I lived with that lady that had the chihuahua with no teeth.
Wait a minute. That wasn't a bit? That happened?
No, no. That's all true stuff. You know, when you start off, can't afford the big rent.
Sure. I lived in the back of the station. Remember?
Yeah. I used to live in a place with a pit bull. I had to use my window in my room as the front door. And I would go pee at the Publix, you know, the grocery store. Anyway, these are the houses.
Where was this?
In Orlando when I was coming up with the comedy.
Okay.
But what I do is I take my tape recorder and the lady with the chihuahua, my roommate, the guy who was renting the other room, would be up all night making bombs, like a bomb builder. Maniac kid. Oh. We got along fine, but I'd come back in the middle of the night. And he'd be packing bullets, right? He'd be putting the gunpowder into his bullets.
Right.
And I would say, hey, man, listen to this. Remember, it's packed. This is a packed audience. And I'd play my tape for him. Yeah. You hear just me and no laughs. It was very entertaining for me to play that.
Oh.
I enjoyed it.
Now, but that wasn't your first official live performing in front of people, was
Well,
it?
First year. First couple years.
What, weren't you on the Lumberjack show?
There? Oh, yeah. Well, did I do that? The Lumberjack show came a little bit later. That's when things picked up.
So you did
the Lumberjack show.
So you did what we would call stand up for how long, and then you went to the Lumberjack
show? Maybe a year.
And then?
Then I had a corporate job too at the same time. Hated it. Went back to my apartment, told my roommate, I said, watch this, man. I'm going into show business. Picked up the phone book, went to agent. First agent was A1 Peg, called her up. Hey, Peg, Greg Hahn, I'm a comic, MC any show, host anything you got. Hold on, Greg, I just called for Lumberjack show. Have him give you a call. Have him give me a call, Peg. Off the phone. Not 2 minutes went by. Ring. Hi, this is Lila Captain with the Paul Bunyan Lumberjack show. Blah, blah, blah. Come on down. We'll see if you can, you know. And so I'd say with 45 minutes later or so, I was in front of his house with an axe trying to, like, hit the target with an axe and missing the target, hitting his garage door. Bang! You know? And then I got hired for the Lumberjack show.
That all actually happened in that order.
Yeah.
And the roommate making bombs witnessed this.
No. This is after I moved. This is a different house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I did. You know, you get one of those things. I'm going to take care of this right now. Give me the phone book. Going into show business.
You've just had it.
Agent. Okay.
Wow.
But the nervy thing was to say, hi, I'm a comic. I can host anything. No, you can't. You can't host anything, as a matter of fact. But I got that show with that guy.
How long did you do that?
Oh, like 4 years off and on.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Do you travel?
You travel all around.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know the thing, you'd have to keep things going. All these lumberjacks would fly in from New Zealand, Nova Scotia.
Right. Got all these axes, big.
Chainsaws, all this power equipment, right? They drink a lot. So there'd be some accidents. I'd have to keep the show going. Ladies and gentlemen, one slipper glance of the axe. The only place it could go was directly into his foot. Boo! Told you! Our next event, the log rolling dog. And he would sink because he couldn't handle the airplane ride. Anyway.
Wow.
That's how you start off.
Really? Now, was that all over the United States?
Yeah, all over the place.
For 4 years.
Well, yeah.
Well, at the end of the...
But then I mixed that up with the stunt show at Universal Studios in Orlando. Mm-hmm. You know, I just happened to be in the left lane of I-4, and I remember the tryouts at Universal for actors was that day.
Yeah.
And the exit was on the left, so I just head
why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get over there. It's going to be all kids going out for Ghostbusters. I didn't want to do that. But I'll show up. I just showed up, had me roll around this and that, and they're like, you can be in the stunt show. Are you good with stunts? Oh, what? Yeah, sure. Great.
So you've fallen off stuff?
I had a limp for that was like 5 years. I limped. Got the nerves down the right leg.
Nice.
You don't know how to land.
Yeah,
I didn't know
that's important.
Land.
So what'd you do? Did you do like Indiana Jones or what did you
do? I did the Wild Wild West stunt show.
Oh, okay.
You get shot, you fall off the roof, you practice that. But my real job was leaping backwards into the well and leaping through the roof. That was fine.
I saw that like in the early 90s.
Yeah, that's when I was there.
Oh, okay.
You might have seen me.
I may have seen you.
Claude, remember the big dumb guy?
Yeah, with the limp?
One of them might have had a limp. One of the guys. There was like four guys that played it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't sound like you really ever had a plan.
No plan. Still no plan.
Well, no, but you.
I just kept showing up. That's
you like to you like to invest though.
What the hell is going on?
Gotta invest.
No, this isn't
Chick's
a part. This
is doing all of his favorite.
No,
material.
No, this isn't Set part up. Of his act. There was a time. I'm gonna say 4 or 5 years ago, we were on the road and we did a bunch of shows together. And every time you turn the corner, Hey, how you doing? This is my aunt. How you doing? What are you thinking about retirement? I'm like, well, no. I mean, not now. But later, you're going to have to retire. And what are you going to do? You're going to invest right now in mankind. That's what you're going to do.
Back up the truck. Back up the truck.
I like to buy high, sell low. That's my plan.
Right.
No, but you got really crazy about that.
Yeah, let's still load it up. I still own a lot of shares. It's just a little over $2. I can't look. I got some meaningless notice from them today. It might work out. That might work out just fine, though. That could be a great company. The guy's done it before.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but I'll invest anybody's money. You want to lose $50,000 in a flash? Never mind diversification. Pick a winner and bet the farm. Pick a high flyer. This thing might work out. All I need is another year and a half with it.
All right.
Hasn't been approved yet. That's a problem.
You're waiting. But when it does.
It's had two turndowns since I've owed it.
You gotta hang in there.
So it goes up, and then when the approval day comes, it gets thumbs down. Then it takes a dive. You got to sit around for another year.
So is that what you want to do? Is you want to be on a sitcom or eventually have your own show, a variety show? Or
I just want to, I don't care, whatever the vehicle is, to end up just on a lake, right? Uh-huh. Young wife.
Uh-huh.
Just sit there on your patio, sipping your iced tea, looking over the water.
Flying your helicopter?
Talking about the results for my latest liver test. That's it.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah, I would do that. Or movies, right? Who wouldn't do that?
Sure.
You know, big deal.
Have you gone out for, you gone on to auditions?
You know what happens is, you go to auditions and they'll say, man, you're a comedian. You're not an actor. You don't have any acting experience. I'm like, hey, I've been dating my entire life. I'm a genius actor, master actor. You know what I mean? You know how hard it is to break up and look sad when you've got the giggles? Anyway, I would do that stuff. Who wouldn't? You'd be in the movies, right,
Chuck? Oh, I'd love to be an actor. We've had that discussion before.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be a great one.
Oh, I'd be a great actor. Yeah. One of the great ones.
Yeah. We do bits all the time on the show.
We do,
Temex
was a bit.
Perfectly realistic. It was great.
How often are you home?
Not home that often.
During a year.
You know what? I try not to be on the road longer than 2 weeks. I don't have the days counted up. Uh-huh. I don't know how many shows I do every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's the bottom line. I'm my own manager. I'm my own manager, my own agent, my own financial advisor.
You do the whole thing.
I'm driving the Greg Hahn empire into the ground!
Now, do you the whole thing because you have trust issues or?
No. Well, I get yelled at by people like Tosh and whatnot. How come you don't have, you've got to get a manager. You've got to have they're not interested. That's
why. They don't want to manage you? Don't want to be your agent. You can't find an agent or a manager.
I could probably get an agent, but it would be a guy that owns a comedy club.
It'd be A1 Peg.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you want somebody, if you want a whiz bang out in L.A.
Like William Morris or...
Yeah. If you want a guy like that, then...
That was one thing I remember. You mentioned Daniel. I met him for the first time. He was on the show. And I went to see him at the comedy club. And how's it going and stuff like we started talking. And he was represented by William Flippin' Morris or somebody.
Right.
I don't know. Some huge. And I thought, wow, that... I've never met any of the comedians who's had... And he still probably is represented.
Yeah, he switches back between them and CAA. I think he's got them both. One's for appearances, one's for
that's
his
great.
Show.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
CAA and William Morris and Miller's brother. You know,
oh, Dennis Miller's brother. Yeah, Jimmy Miller. Right.
Mosaic is his management. You know, he's got a whole team.
Well, you've been on Daniel's show, and almost became a wheelchair bound.
Yeah,
right?
Broke my elbow. Who cares? Yeah, that was fine. That was okay. Well, first thing I did was he put me in the trunk with a transvestite.
Right.
And then I cut myself in the trunk.
A real transvestite?
A lot of bleeding and whatnot.
So while you were laying in the trunk, you cut yourself or when they threw you in there?
I think when I leaped in or leaped out, all of a sudden I had this gash, blood and everything, whatnot. There's like, stop the filming! Blood. They got to stop that. Then he starts running me around the baseball field.
You didn't stop the shooting, did you? Someone else noticed the blood, I bet. Or did you stop it?
Well, I would have. I think I probably stopped it. It was a bizarre amount. It was too much. It was way too much. You couldn't play it off.
This is bleeding
You
way
couldn't
too
dab it
much.
With your shirt.
I can't continue.
You don't mind this, do you, man? Girl? Whatever,
it was a transvestite.
Anyway, so I cut myself, and then I'm out in the baseball field running around, and he had me do falls and stuff.
In
broke my right elbow.
In a policeman's uniform.
Policeman's uniform.
Yeah.
And hot out there. And I was getting over bronchitis. Oh, it was a rough day. Wicked bronchitis. And I just landed, kind of like today. Anyway,
he had bronchitis.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Wait, you get bronchitis all the time? No. Are you bored out of your mind, Jess? Am I telling a bedtime story? I get sick of myself, too. I don't blame you.
No, before you came in, Greg.
Yeah. She had bronchitis? Issues.
She had issues with anything throat or lung related.
It wasn't. My mom always had pneumonia or bronchitis when I was a kid. Just constantly. And so whenever anybody says that, I'm like, shut up. That's not real. I really don't. I feel like bronchitis or pneumonia, that's not a real thing.
They're made up.
I know. Isn't that horrible?
You know, you're onto something. Because I went to the doctor over here last time I did this show. Mm-hmm. They put me off a week because I couldn't breathe. But anyway, I went to the doctor over here and he goes, you're not that sick.
There you go.
He goes, I know you feel really bad. Right. I know you feel bad. He says, you're just not getting enough oxygen.
You're not that sick.
Like, yeah, well, I don't feel good about that.
Well, I was going to say, that's not a good thing if you're not getting enough
oxygen. Oh,
you
feel like down.
Yeah.
Bad.
They give you a mask. You do some
breathing
treatment.
Oh, he gave me a whole treatment. He gave me antibiotics.
What do you got, sleep apnea? You think you got sleep apnea?
No, I had bronchitis. I'm all better now.
Okay. You look really healthy.
Yeah, I've been better for over a month. Two months.
That's good. Great.
People get bronchitis. What were we talking about? We were on our way to something.
No, you and Tosh, did you guys come up together? Or?
He came up a little bit after. I've been doing it a little bit longer, I hate to say.
But you're both from Florida?
Yeah, we're both
from Florida. He's from Florida too, right?
Yeah. I was playing this comedy club down there called Side Splitters.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, I was going to show up and go to headline again. I'm going to headline, you know.
Oh, you're the headliner.
I'm a headliner. Closing this mother down.
So tearing it out.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you're going to co-headline with DT. DT, what? Look at this little guy. You know, I had earrings
little
and stuff.
Little squirrely guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He kind of looked like Vanilla Ice, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like in the corner, facing the corner, not talking to anybody.
Yep.
Who's that guy? I'll kill him right now. I'll kill him right now. Yeah.
So did he look up to you? Were you kind of his mentor at some time?
No, I was never his mentor.
Do you think Daniel ever had a mentor?
Yeah, probably not.
I don't know, but we ended up having a lot of fun. I don't know what I initially said to him or whatnot, but we had a good time. We were in the same condo. And we played sports. We went on and did pull-ups. We played basketball. I remember getting an idea of his personality early on when I was dribbling the ball, you know, about to make a charge towards the hoop, playing one-on-one. And he says, I just feel so bad. I said, why? Because you're so old. I thought, who's this kid? You know?
Yeah.
He was obnoxious. I remember something else happened, and... Yeah, I grabbed him in the condo and chucked him, and he flew a lot faster. He was a lot lighter than I thought he was. So it was too much. There was too much heat in the push.
You remember what happened and why you pushed him.
And he flipped over the couch and banged his head, and I heard a thud, and I thought he was dead, you know? And he got up. He arose from the back of the couch with a big smile. It was the weirdest thing.
Probably liked you even more.
There was something about it. He did like the... getting flung or something.
Who else did you come up with in Orlando?
Tim Wilson. Not in Orlando.
I love your comedy condo stories, because there's one about you and Tim Wilson watching. You introduced him to Ultimate Fighting.
Ultimate Fight. Tim Wilson in the 90s. Tim Wilson had never seen any Ultimate Fighting championships. And you know, I thought Tim Wilson, you know, every comic, just love it when you got a week with Tim Wilson.
Sure.
I still do. Uh-huh. We get to see him here coming up.
I know, it's coming up.
Anyway, so... Yeah, I see a big stack of Ultimate Fighting Championships DVD. Betamax? What was it back then? Whatever.
VHS.
They're all stacked up, and a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
And I said, I could, you know, Hoist Gracie and those things are up there. That was one of the champions. Anyway, so I said to Tim, you ever seen Ultimate Fighting Championships? No, sir. You know, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I said, let me just put this in. Let's see if you like this. And he sits there. He's got his hair in his eyes. You know, he's smoking, studying it. You know, he hunches forward and studies it.
How he looks at stuff when he really thinks.
Yeah, his eyes are squinty, you know.
Uh-huh.
He's looking at it and he says, you think this is good to watch? You're a bleeping sadist. And he's mad. But he was sincere. Like, I thought, I got Tim Wilson upset with this.
Oh, no.
Because it does take a second to adjust when you're seeing just fists and faces and stuff.
Right.
We'd never seen that before when it first came out.
Yeah, that's...
And there was no weight limit or anything. You could have like a sumo wrestler versus a mosquito guy from the Bahamas. Or something. You know, like a flying bat type guy.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, but it was interesting. And then he keeps watching. And then you hear him say... Hoist Gracie was choking everybody out, right? He was the champion. You hear him say, they should change the name of this show to Who Can Whoop Hoist. And we went from that tape to the next, up all night, zero sleep. He would not take a break. I said, we can watch the rest tomorrow, Tim. Not her.
No,
I could beat him. Now, my brother could take him. Big analysis of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, that man right there reminds me, you know, on and on and on. Very entertaining night.
Right there in the comedy condo.
Yeah,
you,
yeah,
you
yeah.
And Tim Wolf.
They should change the name of this show to Who Can Whoop Hoist. Then a little more time goes by and he goes, you can't beat Hoist Gracie. He's a big Hoist Gracie fan.
That's funny.
But it was fun because they'd show them each in their dojo, you know, the competitors
right, yep.
fighting against each other.
What are you saying? Yeah, did you watch these two?
I've seen them, yeah.
The
yeah,
Ultimate Fighting? Yeah, yeah.
The first ones, they'd show a guy, like he'd be on the floor like a praying mantis, you know what I mean? And then you see the guy that his sparring partner would fly through a window or whatever, a lot of noise and people flying everywhere. Then they get together in the ring, the two, after the big
buildup. Have you seen Bully Beatdown on MTV?
No.
This is not even close to the same thing. Are you kidding me?
No, but it's the Ultimate Fighters.
Kind of, but it's not.
No, it's Mayhem Miller. Have you heard of this guy?
No.
He's an Ultimate Fighter.
Is that like Hurricane Han?
Hurricane Han.
And he takes these letters from people. They write in, go, dear Mayhem. My neighbor is a bully.
You're killing me.
He comes over and beats me up every now and then, and I'm a lot smaller than he is. So the Ultimate Fighter comes out to the kid who's been beat up. And he goes
to his house?
Yeah, maybe the kid's a shit. Maybe he deserves to get beat up. But
okay. It's possible in some of the scenarios, but my point is that the Ultimate Fighter shows up at the kid's house who's written him the letter and goes, yeah, well, let's go next door and talk to this bully. So they go talk to this bully. And he comes out, you know, and he's, of course, a typical bully. I mean, he's, like, ready to fight and like, yeah, what's the problem? Is there a problem? So the Ultimate Fighter goes, I tell you what, you get in the ring with me for 3 rounds, I'll give you $5,000. And, of course, the bully is a bully, so he goes, okay, we'll do that.
And
so,
they even did it with girls, like girl Ultimate Fighters.
Yeah, they had the girl Ultimate bullies. Fighters come, and they go and they put them, these bullies in the ring with try to make it for 3 rounds with actual Ultimate Fighters.
Way.
And of course, it ends up being a mess.
Choked out, guy gets choked out. It sounds great.
Kicked in the head, and then, you know, and then, but at the end, the only thing that's kind of hokey about it is at the end they say, okay, don't you feel bad about being a bully to this? And you know the bully's not going to stop, even though he's gotten his ass beat by an Ultimate Fighter.
He's going to get worse. Yeah,
he's going to get
there's going to be some payback when the cameras
are Yeah, the poor little
gone.
Kid. Yeah, when the camera's gone, the bully's going to.
What about that guy that came in here, that pro wrestler last time I was here, came in for the extra after?
What was his name? Big red-haired
Sheamus?
Guy. Sheamus. That's it, yeah.
And I was all pumped up, all excited, screaming and yelling at him.
Yeah, he didn't
told
know
me to hit
to,
myself in the head with
he
the chair.
He didn't know what
he
to make
he was a professional wrestler?
Yeah, I was all pumped up. I was telling, oh, this guy can kill everybody to death. This guy's going to be great. This guy's going to be a monster.
And he wasn't.
And I was screaming at him, you know, hey, Sheamus! Come on, who can I hit with a chair? You can hit yourself in the head with a chair. He didn't like me at all. The guy hated my guts.
He didn't know what to think.
The guy sucked the happiness right out of me.
He was right. He was sitting in the chair you're sitting in, Jess.
I kept yelling, but man, the guy wasn't happy about it.
He was just here to promote the match.
And yeah,
but he didn't even say who he was fighting. If you were going to promote a match, you want to come, everyone come out to the fight. It'll be a fight. We're going to have a fight. What?
That's
yeah,
yeah,
be like Dusty Rhodes was back in the
day. Yeah.
Mongolian Stomper! When a man steps on your face, there's going to be heavy dudes.
Dusty Rhodes.
My mama was a plumber. My daddy. You know. I'm tired of reading the bottom of your boot, baby. I was ready for some of that. What's this guy doing?
How long would you last in the ring with one of those fighters, Greg? Could you take him?
What would I do? I'd jump all around. Which kind of fighter? Ultimate
fighter? Ultimate fighter.
I'd probably gas out at about 45 seconds.
We have an Ultimate Fighter lives right in our neighborhood.
He doesn't live in our neighborhood. He lives in our town.
He lives in our town.
Chris Lytle. Lights Out Lytle.
Lights Out Lytle, baby.
Oh, I think I've heard of his name, haven't I?
Yeah.
Woo!
I don't know.
Wow.
I think he retired and ran for Senate.
Really?
That's about right.
Yep, that's what happened.
Yeah, that's what happened.
They still got his stickers all over the stop signs on our county roads.
Those guys are dangerous.
Yeah,
all the kids are taking this stuff now, this MMA. They used to take piano.
Yeah,
you can't pick a fight anymore.
No.
No, you never know who you're going to run.
I know. You pick a fight, the guy levitates all of a sudden. You wake up 3 days later. You're like, what happened to violin? Take some violin like we did back in my day.
Did you play violin?
No, I played the drums, but you know, something.
Oh, that's right. You do play the drums. You close out some of the shows with drums.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
The Pork Pistols?
Yeah, it was fun.
Bringing the thunder.
Not just fun, the most fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got some shows coming up.
Yes, we do.
Those shows are the most fun thing I do in comedy.
No kidding?
In the whole history of my career.
That's what we try to make because we know that on stage everybody is going to have a good time. But what we try to do is make everything backstage real mellow. And
well, plus you don't see everybody. You don't get to have these people at your shows.
It's like a class reunion.
Yeah, it's all headliners.
I'm trying to get her to come out and maybe come to a show and say hi or
something.
At least to everybody. All the old guys.
What is it? What do you mean, out of range? You got to fly?
I got to fly. Yeah, I can't fly.
Well, she got off the plane and what happened? She could come over and what would
she's
she say?
She's dizzy.
What would she say?
I didn't have a good flight. I was sick one time
and I said, I don't know. I don't fly well. And Tim Wilson was like, maybe it's all the shots you took last night, which probably usually played into
it. But you come off really looking baffled. Red and white and blue and like every problem.
Yeah, she didn't
spinning around.
Yeah, I was usually throwing up.
Yeah.
And one, one of her ears would pop. And...
Yeah, it was bad.
you know what I say about the pilots? I don't like when they use their first name, right? When they introduce themselves to us all. They try to put you at ease. Yeah, this is Captain Jeremy for Dr. Zachary. Well, hey, it's not a puppet show. You're flying a jet. I want a guy that's serious up there. You know, hello, it's Captain John Jones, U.S. Navy. 1,400 carrier landings, 35 confirmed kills. Unbuckle your seatbelts. I got this.
That's what you want.
Serious.
Yeah.
Captain Jeremy. His last name puts me more at ease.
Have you ever done a podcast before? Is this your first?
I've been on podcasts before. I haven't done one in years. I don't do them. I don't like to do them.
He's not lying.
Because
I called him and said, hey, you're gonna be in town, corporate show. You got a corporate show tonight, right?
You know, and I've known you for a long time, and I asked you, because this was not even really starting yet.
Right, yeah. We were worried, because we wanted to have you on early.
You were one of the first people I asked to be on, and I said, you want to be in? You had this look on your face like, oh, God, no. How can I say no? I'll do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say no to you. But there's a lot of comics in L.A., you know.
They're not fun, are they? Are they not fun?
This is very fun. But for guys I don't know, I don't care about, I'm not going to sit there and babble for an hour. You know? Who wants to hear that? Right. Did you see me at the Olympics?
We love the Olympics.
I was in the Olympics. Synchronized diving.
You were
synchronized diving. My partner called for a full rotation with a half twist. I could have sworn he said cannonball.
In the Olympics?
See me in the broad jump? I landed right on top of her. Come on. I'm still doing jokes up here, everybody. I'm wearing my soundproof pants.
Now, when you said you're... retire to the lake.
Yeah.
Have your lady friend. Would you have a ping pong table?
Probably have a ping pong table. Yeah. I'd have all the nonsense.
That's one of my dreams, Greg, is to someday play ping pong with you.
Let's play.
We need one in our performance room.
Oh,
but
we do.
Someday.
We totally do.
Someday, Greg. Yeah. You and I.
I'm all for it. Ping pong. Yeah, I'll have a, with the young wife, I'll have a big hamster wheel she can run on. Got to keep her tired. Some fruit roll-ups.
That's what
acne
I need,
medication, a tutor. All set.
All the things I do.
I'll tell you one thing, man. Chick.
Yeah.
You got to wake up pretty early in the morning to outsmart me. About 11:45 ought to do it. Come on. All right. By the way, ladies, you're invited over to my house for drinks and light hors d'oeuvres. And by light, I mean none. Okay.
What'd you have, Jason?
We're talking about, you know, the early days of being a comedian.
Yeah.
To me, whenever I hear this, it sounds like this is when a comedian almost feels like he's made it, is when he doesn't need a roommate.
Is that right?
Is that fair to say? Because you don't have a roommate, right?
No roommate. I don't.
Or did ever have her? Well, you had a lady with no teeth.
And the bomb builder.
And the bomb builder.
I had some other lady on the other house with the pit bull when I used the window.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I lived with a lumberjack guy for a while. I lived behind a couch, and I lived in Jersey in the basement where the ceiling wasn't high enough. So I rolled around in an office chair, like would push over, boom, mac and cheese, could cook my mac and cheese, give it one push, slide across the room, change the music, boo, back to the mac and cheese. The toilet would explode every now and again. Yeah.
So the ceiling was too low for you to actually stand up.
Yeah, I couldn't stand up.
So it was like 5 feet. High? I mean,
I don't know. Yeah, maybe, or maybe 6 feet or something. I'm 6'4".
Okay.
How long did you live there?
About a year.
No way.
Yeah, not bad. I didn't. But that's what I'm saying is, for some reason, when I was talking about you, but no, living at the radio station,
yeah.
I was never that stressed out. Like,
yeah.
And I started late. You know, I was never like, this is a disaster. I got to get it together. I was like, yeah, things are good. Oh, mac and cheese is going to be delicious. And like, I never panicked. Like, I never thought things were off track in any way. I was like in my 30s, mid-30s. You know, I remember offering these guys $200 to live behind their couch. They just bought a fancy townhouse in Jersey.
And you said?
In like Newark? Or north of Newark, somewhere nice. Maybe Hoboken.
Hoboken?
And that's expensive there. And yeah. They just bought a thing, and they're like, you know, two guys buy with their stockbrokers. They own a place. You don't want some guy living behind the couch.
No.
I was like, hey, I'll give you $200 to sleep, live here behind the couch.
They don't need your $200.
Yeah, they were like, you're joking. You're not serious.
Yeah.
Deadly serious.
Done.
Let me live behind the couch. I'm like, no, get out now. Anyway, that's how you come up, right?
That's how you come up.
I'm just saying, like, as far as zero, going from roommate, my brother's roommate, or what, I never really noticed. Hmm. Matter of fact, I could go back. You hope things keep going well, but I could go down. I could move back into an apartment now. No problem.
No problem.
I got a nice house, nice place, townhouse.
Valencia.
Way overpriced.
Way overpriced. Yeah.
So nice.
Yeah.
But man, if I whatever, and I had to move into an apartment
with a roommate.
Yeah, no problem. Smooth really? Right in. I get right in there. No problem.
No problem.
Nah.
Low stress. You.
Yeah.
You,
what time's how late's the pool open?
Yeah.
It's like you're rushing for a flight, but you're not gonna let it. It's not gonna let it bother you.
So what does stress you out, Greg?
lots of stuff. Tons of stuff.
Really?
Right. Everybody. We're all like this. I think we have somewhat similar personalities in here.
A little bit. A little bit.
Yeah. I can't. I don't know.
Not you so much.
You know. What do we got? Tonight we got to do well on the show.
Yeah.
Got the corporate gig tonight.
You're not worried about it? You know what you're going to do? You're all set?
I think so, kind of.
Uh-huh.
Don't know. What are they wearing tuxedos in there? Suits? What's going on?
I got to go check
it out. You worry about
before?
The girls all the time. A lot of stress with the girls.
Oh,
remember
yeah,
when I broke
sure.
up with the one girl?
I do.
It was like Valentine's Day. Do I send her a thing? Do I not? It's her birthday now.
That lasted the whole weekend.
That seemed like yeah. that went
what do I do
on.
Now?
That seemed like that went on forever.
I don't want to be mean.
Yeah.
No.
Greg, she's living with another guy in South Dakota. Well, but I don't want to be mean and not send her something.
At one point, he goes, I was thinking about sending her a gym membership. And I go, are you fucking serious? He was like, no, she likes to work out. And I was like, you want to keep her tight and fit for the next guy?
No, I didn't. I wouldn't say that.
No, I said that.
Oh, you did. Okay.
No, yeah, sure. That you did. You kind of stressed about that.
Well, you stress about who you go out with. That's where the stress is.
Yeah, that's where the stress is.
Which one's you? Yeah, sure.
And then if you do a TV show, you get a little nervous about that.
TV shows
and
women,
When I did Conan, I came out and I got heckled by the trumpet player. That was stressful.
When did you do Conan? Why didn't you tell me?
Years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how'd that go?
They didn't have you back?
No. It went okay, though. I held the show captive for the first minute. Well, the guy heckled me, and I forgot my act.
Oh.
And I remember it was like the opening line thing, you know, like, mm-hmm. are those your eyes? Or to someone, I was doing that bit,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I came out there, and the guy, I did my first joke, and the trumpet player said, ba-da-bump. Give me one of those, ba-da-bump.
Oh.
I heard that to my right. And you got the three cameras going up and down right in front of you. And the audience is over to the left, and then Conan's way over to the left.
Right.
And I heard, bump, bump. And that just, I thought, no one's supposed to say that to me when I'm out here for the band.
Couldn't have been thrown more.
You don't say that to a guy.
No.
I remember thinking those thoughts. You don't. And then, then my next thought was, well, I wonder what I'm supposed to say next here. Where am I with this shtick I'm doing? So I remembered it was the pickup line, so I just start going, it's TV. I'm going, yeah, man, the chicks. Chicks, I'll tell you about the chicks. The chicks. These pickup lines. Like, I remembered it finally, you know. And then got it on track. And then everything was rolling along. Good laughs. And then I had my final punchline. For some reason, didn't do the punchline. Took my shoe off and threw it on the ground and spun around. And then the show was over. And
that'll end the show.
Yeah, I didn't even understand what happened.
Aww.
That'll end the show.
No, it went fine, though. It went all right.
See, to me, I figured
the last punchline would have been good.
You're like a plow. You don't care what's going on around you. You just go and do it. I can't believe something threw you.
Yeah, well, I've been doing it for like comedy for like 6 years or something.
Huh.
That's no excuse. Whatever.
No excuse.
How many times has Johnny done Letterman? Like six, five?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
But you know,
six,
when he'd been doing comedy for like 4 years or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the kid writes every day.
Yeah, constantly. Well,
every day.
You write every day, right?
No.
No. Oh, come on. Yes, you do. Don't you?
I should.
It always seems like you're writing. Like when we were on the road and stuff, you'd always have these.
Oh, right. Well, I think about it. I think about it, but I don't hold still and sit down and produce like those guys do.
How do you relax? Do you meditate or play the drums? Does that relax you?
Well, drums is fine. Yeah, drums is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just kind of get you to... I just don't see you ever sleeping. That's why I just... At this point,
You sit around. What do? You talk to your friends.
Yeah.
It's fun to relax after a show in the green room at our shows.
Oh, that was good.
I don't mind sitting around.
That's true.
Go out and grab
chatting.
Maybe sip a little sauce.
Grab a glass of crazy.
Have a glass of crazy. Yeah, talk to people you like. That's the thing. You sit around, you hang out with people you like.
Yeah.
That's relaxing.
That's all right.
That's true.
Who's some of your favorite drummers?
That's a good question.
Do you like
Dave Weckl's great? You ever heard of Dave Weckl?
Dave Weckl?
Is this the guy you used to make us watch on YouTube?
Probably.
Yeah.
Maniac guy. Get a load of this, though. Here, get a load of this. So I'm playing Hilarities in Cleveland. This just happened like a month ago. So I'm checking in the hotel in Cleveland to play Hilarities, and this guy's wearing this shirt with all these drummers, all these names on his shirt. Dave Weckl, Will Kennedy, Steve Smith, drummer from Journey back in the 70s. I'm looking at these. I said, where were you, man? What is this? Is this a concert or where? He says, no, there's a seminar going on in our hotel this weekend. All these guys are here this weekend. And they're down. Every night there's a jam downstairs.
No way.
What?
And you can't,
they're all here?
You can't believe it.
Yeah, and I ran downstairs after the show. They're like, yeah, well, Dave Weckl is giving lessons, taking like maybe 16 people. You could be in his class. It's $200. That's a bargain.
Did you meet him and everything?
Yeah, he's moving the stick in my hand, telling me I don't know how to. There's two drum sets in the room.
Uh-huh.
Don't even look at them. You can't hold the stick.
That's what he tells you.
Well, yeah, he's trying to have me hold the stick correctly, and what he said was, he says, "No, you don't get it," and he moved to the next guy. Loved it. It's worth $200. At any point, while he's moving, he's holding the stick in my hand. He's moving it around, trying to get me to hold it right. At any point, I could have blurted out, "What are you doing here? Why are you here?" You know what I mean? You played with Chick Corea, in the 80s and 90s, legendary drummer.
Mm.
Get out of here! The drummer for the Jeff Lorber Fusion was there. The Yellow Jackets, Journey. The drummer for John Mayer was there.
No way.
Yeah.
And you just
I would go
out.
Down every night and watch these guys jam.
Huh.
Anyway, that was a good story, everybody. Thanks for staying with
me. That was a good story.
So did you do like your comedy show and just run back to the hotel room?
Yeah, I would race down. Tell the other comics, you gotta go downstairs at the hotel. You don't understand.
You don't know who's here.
Who's here? Yeah, and no one would show up, and I'd be down there.
Oh.
And I'd try to, you know, I'd see him. I'd say, hey, Dave or Steve Smith, I asked them both, hey, I'm doing a show. And I had my drums set up at the show. I was playing the drums at the end of my show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, hey, I said, I'm playing drums at the comedy show across the street, big comedy club, if you want to come up. They just couldn't wait for the words to stop coming. Just when is this going to end? The sentence. Is this guy going to stop with the,
Well, I knew this was going to be spectacular.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was certainly correct. Thank you, Greg, for being with us.
Thanks, Chick, for having me on the podcast. I enjoyed it. Loved it.
All right.
By the way, I can give my grill tips real quick before I leave.
Oh, yeah, go.
How do you like your steak?
Medium
rare. That's not how I make it. What you do is
okay.
You put it on the grill, turn it into a fireball, hockey puck, wrap it up in tinfoil, put it in the refrigerator, leave it for 2 weeks, then throw it out. Also works with chicken. Good night, everybody!
That's what I say at the end of the podcast. Thank you for downloading Off the Air. That's Jess. That's Jason. I'm Chick McGee. Like he said, good night, everybody.